Hey guys, welcome to Lemon Talk Podcast, Season 4, Episode 104. Today's guest is Elias. He's a Greek-Australian videographer, editor, and camera operator. He was born in Australia but moved back to Athens at a young age, where he was raised until he came back to Adelaide in his early childhood. In this episode, we discuss his journey in the entertainment industry thus far, how his podcast, Great Greeks, was created, and how his passion for vlogging began. This episode is also part of our GAF segment, so please check out the Greek Australian Film Society in our description on your any podcast platform that you're using. Without giving anything else away, let's get into this episode. Okay, hey, Elias, thank you so much for coming on Let Me Talk Podcast today. How have you been?
I'm good. Just starting the day.
Yeah.
Waking up here in Adelaide. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, you're in Adelaide. I thought you were in Melbourne for some reason. Why did I think that?
No, I sort of wish I was in Melbourne. I came recently. I really enjoyed it. It was difficult to leave.
Yeah, yeah. Why did you just, have you lived in Adelaide your whole life, pretty much since you come back from Athens?
Yeah, I would say since I was young, when I grew up in Athens, I was raised in Athens partially until I was about seven. I've been in Adelaide since then.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Do you like it? Like, do you like the quieter kind of side of Adelaide versus being in Melbourne?
I have to be careful what I say here. I think I'm a city boy. I don't know why. I like nature, don't get me wrong.
Mm.
But if I'm in a city, I can't be in a small city or a quiet city for some reason. So yeah. I like the hustle and bustle of Melbourne. You know, maybe because I was raised in Athens as well as a kid, subconsciously maybe played a role.
Yeah.
But I love the big cities, Melbourne, Sydney. I enjoy those cities. I really like them. Adelaide's nice. You know, there's pros and cons to quieter cities and bigger cities, I guess. But I really like Melbourne, personally.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think I've never been to Adelaide, which I really want to go and visit. I don't know why. It's like the place I haven't been, and even like Darwin. I haven't been to Adelaide and Darwin, and I'm like, why haven't I been yet? But I heard it's like really beautiful. And even in the beaches, you guys have amazing beaches as well.
Yeah, look, I think that's one thing that maybe Adelaide has an advantage, where Adelaide has an advantage. Beaches are quite close, and they're nice. You know, they're sandy beaches. People are always walking along them. So that's a good thing, I guess, yeah. Adelaide's, a lot of people I meet in Melbourne, actually, always say they want to visit Adelaide. So there's some good advertising or marketing happening in Melbourne about Adelaide, I imagine.
We're getting something. We're getting those commercials. Come to South Australia, you know.
If you like churches and you like some beaches, come to Adelaide.
Yeah, exactly. So we started on the podcast, we'll start with a rapid fire. You know, get to know you, break the ice a little bit.
Sure, sure.
And it breaks up what we're going to talk about and things like that. Just gets you to have a little bit of fun to begin with. Sure. I usually keep it the same for everyone, but I might change it up for you just because I'm dealing with a videographer, editor, and camera operator, so that might be a bit different. So the first question is, who are you most inspired by and why? Like, can be someone in the industry, can be outside of the industry.
In my life, most inspired by?
Yeah, I guess.
That's a great question. 7:30 a.m. That's awesome. Look, I'm inspired by a lot of people. I guess in my field, oh, geez, that's a tough one. That's a real tough one.
It is, because there's so many people, but like, and you feel bad choosing one person, but if you have multiple, you can definitely tell me more.
I'll say one. It's not in my field, but I look at his examples on his field, what he did in his field, to try and replicate it in my field. And that's Jimmy Page, the guitarist of Led Zeppelin.
Oh, nice.
I grew up listening to his music, and I fell in love with the way he wrote music and the way he went about writing music and his passion for the craft from teenage years. And just from there, on some level, I just really appreciated his work ethic and how passionate he was about what he was doing.
Yeah,
and that was inspiring to me. Yeah,
amazing. The next one is TV or film. What do you prefer to watch?
Film, definitely. Yeah,
that was quick. indie or blockbuster? What do you prefer to watch?
Well, I'd say in 2024, indie. Mm-hmm. Probably from in the past, I preferred blockbusters.
Yeah, Is there a reason why you kind of you've changed or flipped that choice?
I believe the platform for filmmaking has changed. So I believe the people that are truly passionate about making movies and are trying to, say something with their movies are in the indie world today.
Yeah.
The blockbusters are very much about, unfortunately, the reality is making money. So that sometimes overrides the what you're trying to say when it comes to movies. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, definitely. I totally agree. I think they all have a place in the world, definitely. But yeah, the blockbusters are, get all kind of the A-listers in one room and let's make as much money as possible. Although the Barbie movie, I feel like broke through that a little bit. They actually did send a good message, and I think they deserve the money that they achieved through the box office. But
Good.
definitely, I prefer to watch indie as well a lot of the time. I think there's just a more freedom in an indie movie.
Yeah, there is. It's
And even if
challenging.
yeah,
Yeah.
even if it starts off as an indie movie and then gets like bigger just through like popularity and things like that, I think there's still that you still have that free range to do a lot more.
Sure, there's more flexibility for sure. Yeah. If you can, everyone's an indie filmmaker, but if you can, as an indie filmmaker, make some good moves, network, play it well. You can probably get some names on board and then a bit of funding. You're kind of a quarter of the way or halfway to making a decent film, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So you grew up in Athens and then you came back to Australia. What was it like growing up in Athens, and why did you want to come back to Australia, I guess?
Well, look, at the age of 6 or 7, it wasn't really up to me to decide. It was my parents. But I remember Athens, I'm dating myself now, in the 80s. I remember it being, as a kid, my memories of Athens, we had lots of family there. So my memories are very pleasant. It's a bit of a golden era of Athens, I guess, the 80s and 90s, before financial turmoil and the euro came in, and it was all the drachma back then, the drachme. I remember a lot of buzz, a lot of people going out, very family orientated. I just remember family, music, film, barbecues, food. Food was everywhere, all that sort of stuff. I was only 7 when I left, but I remember a lot of beautiful things, cousins, family mainly. Yeah.
And when you came back to Australia, did you just go straight into like, school and then high school? Was that kind of where you went and how your journey kind of panned out?
Yeah, when I came here, I was probably about, I went straight into year two, primary school, and I didn't know a word of English. So I remember images, really. I remember struggling to ask the teacher where the toilet was or how to get food, and then at that age, you learn very quickly, obviously. Your
Although
mind
two
is
is
blown.
still kind of a little older than, maybe being in prep or like, kinder age versus
True.
two to in grade two to try and learn English. So was it more difficult, or you don't really remember it? You kind of just
I don't remember any difficulty, to be honest. I don't know. I don't remember any difficulty at all. I'm not sure why. Maybe I picked up on it really quickly because of the age, or because maybe I had a knack for understanding it quickly. I'm not sure. My mum was raised here in Australia from very young. My dad was raised in Greece. Maybe while we were in Greece, I don't remember it though. Maybe my mum also spoke in because we speak English with my mum at home. Growing up here in Australia. So maybe in Greece as well, she would speak English to us as kids. Maybe that was
That
happening. I
helped,
don't remember it, but
yeah, for
maybe that
sure.
helped. Because when I came here, I remember there was a brief period of about a month maybe where I struggled. And then after that, it's like it wasn't a problem. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Do you find that so weird how kids are just so like adaptable and just sponges and can learn anything?
Someone said, once youth is wasted on the young, because I look at young kids now and they can learn languages so quickly, but they don't have the passion to learn much. They want to, just play games or whatever, which we did as well as kids. And I'm trying to learn a language now, and I'm envious of them because it's so hard. It's so hard to store information, but
Definitely. Do you
yeah.
still are you pretty fluent in Greek? Like having been in Australia for so long, do you still have Greek in like the Greek language,
I would
pretty
say
much
yes.
there.
I would say yes. I recently I spoke to some friends and they were saying to me, you know, your Greek is pretty good. How? And I couldn't really answer the question. I think it's because at home we spoke Greek with my dad, who was always Greek, and it was a Greek that wasn't from the old days, let's say. It wasn't we weren't really a family that came to Australia post World War II. We came in the 80s, you know, me and my brother, I guess, and my parents. So we got a Greek that was from Athens. It was kind of fresh, that sort of stuff. Also, you know, throughout the years, I've always, I think because of those 7 years of my life, I constantly read Greek news online. I stay in touch with the Greek world, whether it's a current events or sports or music. I read Greek. Maybe that plays a role. I speak to my cousins regularly in
Yeah,
Greece,
that's good. Yeah.
you
So
know.
you have that const they have the language constantly around you.
Yes, it's constantly around me every day. I didn't
Yeah.
realize it until I had to kind of think about it recently, and I'm assuming that's what's playing a role, because
Yeah.
other people in my age as well, yeah, they struggle with Greek. They struggle. There's people that are better at speaking Greek, and but there's a lot that probably struggle to go to Greece and, you know,
Yeah, I feel like I would struggle.
get
Like
along.
I know like because my yarmulke aren't around anymore, like all of them passed away and stuff like that. And I guess that's what I've kind of been chatting to people about, like our grandparents gave us an experience where even if we weren't in Greece, you know, we were still speaking Greek. And you know, my mum spoke to us in Greek when we were in primary school, and me and my sister were bilingual. But then, you know, when you get to primary school and you start everyone's talking English, you kind of forget that. But
Were
then
you
at least you
speaking
still
English
had,
with your parents?
yeah, English and Greek. Like it
Okay.
would a lot of the time mum would speak Greek to us. And then we had our grandparents. But now that like our grandparents are not here, it's like you're not it's not in your constantly in your life. Like your parents nowadays aren't really speaking Greek to you every day, but more speaking Greek to the, you know, their grandkids that are coming now. So it's not constantly around us anymore. But I would love to be it'd be great for it to be so easy to learn a language now as well, because then you could just go to Greek school or whatever and start like relearning. And
Exactly.
but it's
But it's
so
never
much
too late,
harder.
Zoe, you know.
Yeah,
You're
true.
significantly younger than I am, I reckon. So go
Oh,
for it.
I'd
Learn the
be
language. It's never too
surprised.
late. You know,
But
go for it,
definitely,
learn it.
definitely. Have you been
Yeah.
back to Greece since you like have you been back or not really?
Yeah, I go once a year. I go
Oh,
once a
that's
year.
awesome. And do you still love it? Like still kind of
Love it. Yeah,
would
love
you
it. I
move
really enjoy
back
it.
or
That's the plan. That's the plan.
yeah.
At some point, you know, I've got responsibilities here at the moment, but the plan is to move back. That's the goal. You know, I've done my time in Australia. You know, Australia has many benefits. I've enjoyed it, but when I go to Greece, I feel something special. Maybe because I'm Greek. Maybe it's a DNA thing. Maybe it's a psychological thing. Maybe it's a tiropita thing. I don't know what it is, but
Maybe
the food is
it's just a
awesome
more
there.
relaxing place, and Australia's a bit too much at the moment as well with what's going on in the world. Greece seems like a great place to be.
It's enjoyable. Look, yeah,
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
great
So
fun. Yeah, sorry,
yeah,
go on.
no, that's all right. So tell me a bit about like how you got into the film industry, and like did this start when you were a kid or it kind of come later in life and you just wanted to change?
I've been asked this question before. For me, I grew up hearing about the stories of, you know, Aesop's fables and Greek mythology. I just, you know, my parents would, you know, read them out to me, or family members. I kept hearing about them. And one thing that was always something that I enjoyed throughout school, you know, it's difficult to know what you like to do at school, because you're always told you have to do something where you can make money and all the rest of it. But I always enjoyed storytelling time, you know, all that sort of stuff. And as I grew up, at some point, I realized that I had something to say, and like everyone does, I guess. And I found that the film medium was potentially, I was thinking to myself, it's potentially a very good medium, a conduit to say what I have to say. And so I studied the craft of screenwriting, of film, of video, of photography, of light, and how you can use all these tools to tell your story, say what you want to say. You know, that very basic idea of you've got an idea, you've got something you want to say. How do you say it? You can say it through music, through a guitar, through drums, through a voice, through lyrics, poetry. You can also say it through film, I guess. And film for me, just it attracted me a bit more. So that's how the journey began, I guess.
And did you go to uni to study, or did you kind of just do it all on your own and learn
All
through
on my
like
own. Yeah, I
videos
went
and
to
things like
uni, but
that?
I studied something completely differently. Yeah, I just studied on my own. I just sat there and not just watched movies, but went back after and tried to understand why those people told the story the way they did in that particular movie. And then, but obviously I went through courses and studied the craft in detail over and over and over, repetition.
Was
So
there
you're
a
self-taught,
specific
yeah.
film that kind of attracted you to continue, like to start this journey? Was there a particular film that was like, oh yeah, like I've got to do this. This is what I want to do.
That sort of thing, I guess, depends on your generation as well. For me, growing up, I fell in love with Star Wars, I guess. That was something that kind of touched the nerve with a lot of people for that generation. I wasn't quite old enough to see it in the cinemas. That was before my time, but I remember growing up, especially movies like in the 80s and 90s, especially like Star Wars really did it for me. From very young, I just remember it captured my imagination. It just said, right, we can tell human stories. It doesn't matter what the setting is. We can tell stories about who we are, the challenges we come across, all the basic things. Courage, discipline, patience, all those sorts of things. And Star Wars did it for me. Yeah.
Do you feel like because we had this conversation with the guest last week about going to uni and whether it's like beneficial to go to uni to study something like filmmaking or not. Do you feel like coming from the other side of having learnt it yourself and done kind of gone through this whole journey just by doing repetition and watching movies and constantly learning the craft on your own, do you feel like you would have benefited from going to uni, or do you think you've gotten, even from speaking to other people, maybe you've gotten as much as what they did, just as much as what they did going to uni?
I would say it's much wiser to go to uni and study the craft from A to Z in a theoretical fashion, and then they've also, give you options to study it practically on set and things like that. But I would say go to uni because, with any craft, I guess if you study it in that environment with a teacher, you learn to dot the I's and cross the T's, and then as you then start getting into the field, you know how to manipulate all those rules, but it's important to learn the foundations. Does that affect me? Does it affect some people that haven't studied it? Probably in some form. But we learn to,
You learn to adapt.
we learn to adapt and plug the holes, in creative ways. It's part of the challenge, I guess, for some of us.
Definitely, definitely. That's why I think this industry is so. Like, it's not hell bent on going to uni, but if you go to uni, yes, you learn a lot more. You can learn a lot more intricacies and things that you can adapt, you can take into your work later on when you leave uni and you go into the professional world of it. But I feel like I have so many friends that didn't go to uni and they know just as much as like I do, especially like with if you're a videographer or an editor or whatever, that's a lot of self-learning. Like you have to kind of sit there on, Premiere Pro or Avid and be on your own a lot of the time because you need to learn the system by yourself. Your teacher can teach you as much as they're going to teach you, but you, if you really want to be a good editor, you kind of have to sit on that program, on those programs for hours and get the system down and learn how to do it properly.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I
What
agree.
kind of
There's
attracted you to videography and like editing and camera operating versus like, just being a director or an actor, I guess?
I guess for me, it was a matter of if I want to do this, I have to kind of learn as much of it as I can in all the different departments. So I said to myself, okay, I worked in the corporate world for many years, and I slowly began to learn how to write screenplays. That was my thing. How do I tell the story in the written form, using the right format, using the industry standards? What's the right way to write? And not just that, let's go back and learn about what did the ancient Greeks, for example, Aristotle talked about writing, storytelling. There's three parts to every story, a beginning, a middle, and an end, you know. And then from there, I thought, okay, we're learning about that. I need to also learn, understand what framing is. I have to understand what video is. I have to understand lighting. I also have to understand things like the technicalities, frame rates, shutter speeds, all these other technical term, all this other te technical terminology, so that and sound, so that when I do get into the position where I can direct and tell the story the way I want to tell it and tell my story, I can communicate with the people around me on their terms, with their terminology, so they can understand what I want from them. And it's been a journey ever since, and I don't think you ever get to the point where you know it. It's an
Yeah,
ongoing
definitely.
process.
It's because technology is changing, you know, every day, every second. Like, there's something new that's coming in that you kind of have to adapt and learn and work out how to use it, because you know the next filmmaker is just going to come in and use it, and you want to know how to use it as well and be kind of up to date with what everyone's using on their sets and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Agreed.
What was like how I guess what was your first professional job, and how did that go for you? Were you nervous, or did you feel like you were kind of ready to go and ready to put yourself out there?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. And I think it's something that probably holds back a lot of people. This is probably where, you separate the men from the boys, let's say, for argument's sake. I at some point I just I jobs were coming my way, and I just leapt at them. I just said yes to everything, which maybe some people don't agree with this philosophy, but I said yes to everything, even though I knew I didn't know how to do certain things. And I said to myself, I'm just going to work it out, because I'd read from many interviews from some of these professionals, some of the big names, Tarantino and Spielberg, and that they've been saying things like, for example, the best place, the best film school is being on set. So I was just saying yes to a lot of things, and I was just, oh, I don't know how to do that, but I'll quickly learn on the job. I had to make a fool of myself a couple of times here and there, but you swallow your pride, you learn, and you move forward. But I just said yes to everything. So first kind of, I guess, gig that I was involved in where I had responsibilities was a wine show that I shot here in South Australia. We've got some wine regions, the McLaren Vale, the Barossa Valley. And we did a wine show in McLaren Vale. We were going to cellar doors, and we were just filming a wine show. There was a presenter, guests, and I was filming it, producing it, and directing it, and editing it. I did the whole thing across the board. Learned a lot,
Definitely,
that
but
was.
that's a challenge, and that's what a lot of us have to do. You know what I mean? You're not just doing like one thing a lot of the time. You're doing a lot of multiple roles until you get to that stage where, yes, you're maybe like, in a bigger budget thing, and your role is your role, and that's where you stay. But in like things like, filming a wine show, or even short films, a lot of you're all collaborating. It's a collaboration, and you're often taking on more roles than what your actual role is, typically.
Yeah, correct, correct. Yeah. Short movies are great as well. Short movies are great to work on. I really enjoyed that environment because it's a bunch of creative people, and there's usually quite a few people I've found on short films that are fresh out of uni. They're graduates. They're hungry to, test themselves in the thing they've been studying for how many years. So they're
Definitely.
hungry. It's a great environment, very positive, and everyone's there to be creative. I really enjoy it.
Exactly. And like you said, like you said yes to everything, but it's not a bad thing to say yes to everything. Obviously, there's certain things that, you can say no to because they're inappropriate, or they're just
Of
not
course.
necessarily what you want to do. But I always say, like me as an actor, people shy away from doing like extra work, like doing the background stuff. But it's like, you don't know, like you need to do that. So then you can be in the background, you can scope everything out, you have a chance to look at a set in its entirety. You're not the main person anyone's looking at, you're just in the background, and you have so much to learn. And I did that for so many years. Like, probably every fortnight I was at Neighbours doing extra work and just learning the set and learning what everyone does and meeting people. And it's so important. So I feel like as creatives, we have to say yes to things that might not necessarily be what
we want to do in the long run, but it's going to help us get to where we want to be. And it's, and when we get there, we're going to know how to do things, and we're not going to be holding the project up.
Correct, correct. Like you personally, I'll ask you a question now. I'll play the host for a second. Do you look back and think, oh, like if I was to say to you, where did you feel like you learned the most in your journey?
Yeah, I feel like with acting, definitely probably when I've been doing extra work, because it's everything. You get all sides. You get the acting side, but you also get the technical side, and you can see what the actors that are working professionally are doing and how long it's taking them to do takes and, you know, every single part of it. So I would say like extra work's probably been the most that I've learned. And then obviously like classes, I always disagree when an actor says, you know, like I don't have to take any classes anymore. Like I'm good. When you've got A-list actors that are doing classes still and are constantly in tune with their craft. So I think classes and definitely extra work is something that I've learnt the most on that side. And then filmmaking, I went to uni, but I just, and with that, a lot of short films, the repetition of doing, being a producer or, you know, a first AD on short films has taught me more about that just by constantly repeating the same roles, I guess, on and off, and writing as well. I guess it's just repetition of things. Like you said before, it's a lot about repeating things and just learning more and more as you repeat them.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Yeah.
So you have also a podcast, which I'm excited to talk about it's called The Great Greeks Podcast. What made you want to start a podcast, and was this during like a downtime for you or?
Yeah, look, the podcast, it's an interesting one. It's a COVID baby. I was on an app during the COVID period where we were all stuck at home, and I found this app. I came across it called Clubhouse. And it was, I don't know if you've heard of it, it was an app where people would go on this app on your phone, and it would be just like these rooms you can go into and you can just converse, but it wasn't text. It was all you speak.
Yeah.
So just a bunch of people talking to each other. And it was interesting. And what I did is the first thing I did was, okay, let me find some Greeks on this thing.
Yeah.
So we're the Greeks, you know, and I came across a few Greeks and started talking to them. And one of them in particular, we kind of had a bit of a bond. My friend John from New York, I met him on this app.
Wow.
And I said to him, you know, like there's a bunch of Greeks on here. Why don't we, you know, I've always wanted to just talk to Greeks about what they do. And there's a few Greeks that seem to be doing well in life in the world. And they've got stories to tell about their success. It could inspire other people. Why don't we just do this thing? And I said, let's call it Great Greeks. So we just started to create these rooms on this app. And it was like a little podcast. We'd invite people. Other people would come and listen. They would ask questions. And from there, you know, we got off that platform and I just transitioned it logically to the podcast realm.
Yeah.
And here we are today, you know. People ask me, you know, Great Greeks. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind with this is I'm not on authority on who's great and who's not or whatever. That's
because
I'm not the person that decides. For me, it's not really about the people that come on to have a chat with me are great Greeks. They're great people or anything, which they are. For me, I just really believe in the Greek DNA. And people get a bit funny if you say things like this, but I really believe that we have something special to offer the world. We have done it in the past. I believe it's time that we showcase what we can do again. And every culture is proud of their own culture. I believe we've got something to offer. And I'm just talking to these people that come on my podcast to show examples of it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
But
it's so funny you say that it's a COVID like project for you, because this is literally what this podcast is for me as well. Yeah, right, I started I came back from LA because I was in LA living there. I was probably like 10 months into living in LA, and then COVID happened. So I had to come back because I lost my jobs, and I was like, I can't stay here. Like on no money. Like that's just going to be so hard.
Yeah.
And they went into lockdown anyway. So I was like, you know, I'll just go home. And then for a good 6 months, I'm like, I don't know what to do. You know, I didn't have a job. Usually you come home, you know, you get back into the swing of things with a job. And I was like, and it gets you down because, you know, you don't have your normal like go to acting class or anything like that. Everything was over Zoom. So I was like, oh, I've got to do something. I'm going to do something that fills my days. And that's when this podcast came. And you know, for me, it wasn't about just speaking to established people and people that were in like a, you know, a level that was beyond. It was more just talking to anyone, you know, from beginning, whatever part of the journey you're in. Like, we want to hear from you, because I don't know who's going to eventually listen to this and what stage they're going to be in their career, or even what career they're doing. So I wanted to be like relatable as possible. And for me, it shocked me that I'm like, you know, at over 100 episodes now, and I'm like, and it's still going and you're still discovering. Do you find that when you're interviewing people in your podcasts as well, you're discovering more about the culture that you just didn't know about, and people's
every
families and
every
like
episode
that?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Every episode, that's the gift, is, you know, people that come on the show as guests, they feel very, you know, humbled and privileged that they're very thankful and very grateful. But to be honest, I feel grateful because I'm learning from these people. I've made friendships through this podcast. I feel very grateful, to be honest. I feel like I've learned a lot. I've gotten more out of it, I believe, than they have, to be
and
honest.
Is it more of like an organic podcast, or do you set out questions and kind of give the guests the questions to answer before they come on, or do you prefer more of a natural?
I prefer the natural with a general outline. You know, I've got a bit of a hot seat situation going on as well. You know, I try to keep it general so that it flows. It's a bit more improvised. But I have a general outline just to keep things on track. I do a bit of homework to find out what they're about. But generally, I try to keep it raw. I believe it's better. It's more genuine.
Yeah, definitely. So where do you hope to go with it? Do you want to expand it from a podcast to something more, or are you kind of happy being in the podcast realm right now and seeing where it goes?
Yeah, look, the podcast is an interesting one. There's obviously been a peak with podcasts during the COVID situation. I think now podcasts are still very interesting, very good. It's just my feeling is that I've started vlogging as well a little bit. So when I go to Greece or Melbourne, I try to, you know, pull up a GoPro, and
I just
miss the, like now it would have been really cool if we were, you know, you're in Melbourne, I'm in Adelaide, we can't do it, but it would have been really good if we were in the studio together.
Definitely,
it's
definitely.
Different
that's where
when you're
I,
in the same
that's
place, right?
100%. And I find it so hard because I interview a lot of people that are not in Melbourne. So I'm like, well, the only way I can do this is on Zoom. But I've done it a few times. Like, I went to a studio with a friend that lives in Melbourne, and it's not that it's so much better. It just feels like that it's, you feel more connected to the person because you're close to that person. You're in proximity, the same proximity to that person. And it gives you a different feel to do it in person.
Yeah. I would have bought some tiropitakia, some kulurakia. We have a cafedaki. You know, it's different. You're
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly.
Together, you know?
Exactly.
But look, the podcast, where I want it to go, at some, it's a lot of work, as you probably know.
Definitely.
There's a lot of preparation. There's editing. There's uploading, there's costs involved with hosting and distributing and all that sort of stuff. So at some point, I would like for this thing to maybe get some sponsorship so that it covers at least the costs. I love doing it. I'm passionate about doing it. It's a gift. But just to cover the costs, because it is time consuming.
Definitely.
Other than that, I'm happy with where it is. I'm happy with what it's about. And if I stay true to the goal and the vision, I think it's fine. Sure.
And tell me about like the vlogs, because the vlogs are an interesting thing. Like I find that so interesting when people just pull up the camera and then vlog around like their journey and what they're doing. Do you have like shyness towards that? Like if you're in Greece or whatever and you're doing vlogs, do you have shyness, or are you quite open and like confident about it?
It's a good question. A lot of people ask me if I have a shyness or anything like that. When I was younger, a kid, I think I was shy. For some reason, at some point, we've all gone through our own journeys. I just had a click. I don't know when it happened.
Yeah.
I'm not shy anymore. You know, I'm usually behind the camera.
Yeah.
But I feel worse if I don't say what I have to say
and do
the thing I need to do in front of a camera and vlog and promote or tell the story. You know, even a vlog, it's not a film story. It's not a screenplay story, but you're still telling a story. You're going around, you're showcasing something, you're talking about it, you're talking with someone. There's a story there.
Yeah,
for me, if I can, I think I get a lot of pleasure from evoking emotion from people. So if I can get in front of camera, say something, and then the people respond and say, wow, I really enjoyed that, that gives me an adrenaline spike or something, and I must enjoy it. That's the only way I can describe it. But the shyness isn't there at all. Yeah, definitely. It's just the key. I think the key is to not care what people think. That's got to be it.
Yeah, that's I mean, all these influencers have been doing it for years, and oh god, I try to do vlogging and things like that, but I get shy around that, which is so weird because like I'm an actor and things like that, but something about just talking to yourself in front of people, like it brings the shyness in me. So I'm like, oh, I gotta get used to it because I want to do more like vlogging and stuff, especially for the podcast, just to have like more interaction on TikTok and Instagram and things like that. But I've got to learn to be outside of my comfort zone and take it to that level.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I think if you do it once and you get that little spike of that feeling that you did it and you put yourself out there, I think you will never look back. That's my opinion.
Definitely.
Especially if you're an actor. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I wanted to actually chat on what is like, because you know, growing up in a Greek family and things like that, and this being a part of the GAF segment, what has your family been supportive? Like, what has your experience been with growing up in a Greek family and wanting to be creative, like an artist? Do you have anyone else in your family that's in that same industry, or kind of on your own there?
Yeah, interesting. My brother, he's a photographer, so he's creative within one frame, you know, take a photo, which I find challenging because I said to my brother, I've got 24 or 30 frames or 60 frames to work with per second. You've got one frame and somehow you have to evoke emotion with one frame. I find it very challenging to be a photographer. But anyway, he's a creative guy, so he does that. My parents, were they creative? As hobbies, they had their creative passions, you know. My mum would love to read and write when she was younger, paint, draw. And my dad would always be playing Greek music at home, and he wouldn't just play the music in the background. He'd sit and we'd talk about the song. And I remember, you know, being young, and he'd show me the album, you know, the vinyl cover back in the day.
Yeah.
He'd explain to me the...
Yeah.
So I was influenced, I think, but on some level with that, those hobbies that my parents had. Did they say go out there and become a filmmaker? No, they said, you know, you have to follow the path of going to school, try to find yourself a job and all the rest of it. I guess that's understandable and logical. I've got family in Greece. I've got a cousin who's an author. She's written a novel. She's written a child's book.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, when your family does some of those things as well, it inspires you to also do something. You feel like you can contribute as well. But there wasn't anyone that was super creative or anything, but it's there in pockets.
Yeah, there in pockets. What would you say to someone, I guess, who is wanting to be in the industry, but they have, you know, like not a supportive family? Like how would you, what advice would you give them to kind of navigate that and follow what they want to truly do and not go away from it because they don't have support?
Yeah, especially as Greeks. Greek parents can be interesting, can't they? Look, my thing is, my feeling, there's a number of ways you can kind of look at it. For me, I used to get upset that I didn't have that support, for example, that I wish I had, you know. But for me, it's almost like a natural way for the craft to test you to see how serious you are.
Yeah.
I try to look at it like that. So if you've got that obstacle, which maybe you shouldn't have that obstacle, maybe you should have the support, I understand. That obstacle is almost like a challenge that you have to embrace and defeat to prove to yourself, not necessarily to others, but to prove to yourself that you're serious about it, because there are going to be so many obstacles no matter what you choose to do. So you may as well do something that you're passionate about. If you want to be a filmmaker, for example,
definitely.
I say go for it. If you don't have the support, you have to do what you know. We're not talking about 10-year-olds now or 12-year-olds. We're talking about adults now, people that can make their own decisions. Go for it, chase your dream, and then I personally believe every parent should at some point appreciate that their child has gone down and chased their own dream, whatever that dream is, I believe. And I think every parent at some point will turn around, especially if you show that you're serious about it.
Definitely. I think it's so important to allow your kids to kind of explore their own dreams and like develop their own personality, because I feel like in a lot of cultures like ours, that doesn't necessarily get to happen, you know. And a lot of kids or adults and things like that, they end up doing something they don't end up even using, you know. They go and do something completely different, and it's kind of been like, you know, 5 years at law school or something like that, and I don't end up even being a lawyer because I'm not passionate about it. So I think opening up and really telling your parents what you want and trying to have them understand, but even if they don't understand, it's still your life, you know. You're going to make your own choices and kind of be the leader in your life and not allow other people to kind of sway that, because you are right, there's so many obstacles. Like, you're not going to get a job straight away, especially in this industry. A lot of it is rejection, but if you also have that other obstacle with your family not supporting you, then you only prove to them that you're serious by sticking at it and continuing it, regardless of what the background noise is.
And you'll respect yourself more as the years go by. You'll look back and say, yes, I had that hurdle. My dad or my mum or, you know, didn't support me, but I pushed back. We had that difficult period, but I respect myself for standing up for myself. I respect myself for, even if you go for it and you fail, at least you failed on your terms and not on someone else's, I guess. That's the important thing. You want to look back and say, whatever happened, I did it on my terms.
Definitely. So what's next for you? What's coming up? Do you have anything that you want people to kind of look out for and check out?
Yeah, look, the podcast is something I'm trying to get back into, so I'm putting a lot of effort into that, slowly, slowly. The vlogging is something I'm getting excited about. I came to Melbourne recently, shot a couple of episodes, shot a bit of footage there with Nikita. Nikita, what a gentleman. Met him for the first time.
He's great. He's
great. It was awesome. Great to meet him and yourself through him now. It's fantastic, this stuff. I had a chat with George Capinaris as well, so we did a vlog with him. So the vlog is something that I'm trying to continue. I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
From the movie making perspective, I've got a short film that's hopefully coming out soon called Hope that I shot here with a friend of mine called Filippo Ziakas. So hopefully that's coming out soon. We're kind of towards the final stages of getting that released and just move forward with all of that and hopefully get to the point where we can tell our stories continually using these mediums.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I can't wait to watch it. Hopefully you got to send it over, and maybe in about a year or whatever, we can have you back on the podcast and do a bit of a recap. Like, I love doing the recaps and the updates, because it's amazing to know where people go, you know, from when we first speak with them to like a year from now, which is awesome.
You do recaps. That's
yeah. Sometimes with some people that are willing to come on, definitely. I love doing that, because it's, you just shows the progression of like where you were when you first came on to, like, you know, a year, 2 years from now, like however long it is. But it's awesome just to see that, to have someone have their progression like right there, and they can just click play and listen to it.
That's a great idea. Yeah. That's excellent.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I was so happy that you wanted to be a part of the podcast. It's always awesome meeting new people as well.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. I feel very privileged to be invited, and it was a pleasure meeting you digitally online.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hopefully when you're in Melbourne, we've got to get a coffee or something. It'd be awesome.
Sounds wonderful. Sounds wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Zoe. Appreciate it.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find us on whatever podcast platform you use. And whilst you're there, please leave us a comment, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.